My name is Chris Brooks. I'm originally from Henderson, Texas. Born and raised there. My wife, Davy's from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, so we're a strange mix. We come from all over the place, and our daughter was born in Shreveport, Louisiana. I'm a former combat engineer, airborne paratrooper from the military. I was in the Army for, thank you, a little over 8 years. I was a drill sergeant, and I got out, and thank God I did. And just like this sign up here says, nobody's perfect, or, you know, no perfect people allowed, or anybody, anything like that. Nobody's perfect. That's Hannah Montana, right? My bad. No perfect people allowed. When you got an 8-year-old, man, your mind just goes sometimes. Nobody's perfect. Anyway, so if that was the case, then I couldn't stand up here before you, because it wasn't but about 8 years ago that I was incarcerated in jail for assault and battery. I was a drug addict. I was an alcoholic. And thanks be to God that walked into my jail cell that said, Chris Brooks, you either get your life right with me or I'm done with you. I was in the belly of the whale for 3 days. He came in and I walked out, and praise God that I'm here today and can be in front of you people. Amen. So that's a little background on us. We been in Pentecostal churches, Southern Baptist churches, Methodist, Presbyterian, Catholic, man, we've been all over the place. So praise God. As long as we're with the people that are kingdom-minded, then that's exactly where I want to be. Amen? Amen. So you ready to receive the word this morning? Go ahead and open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. I'm going to come to this scripture here in just a minute. If I can get just a little bit of volume on this microphone just for me, because I'm hard of hearing from all those guns and bombs and all that good stuff going off in my ears. Thank you. There we go. Matthew chapter 16. I'm going to read this scripture here in just a second. Matthew 16, verse 24 through 25. But if you would just stop with me and just think for a second back when you were a child, or those of you in here that are of youthful age, and remember playing hide and go seek. Everybody remember? I mean, everybody who has ever grown up has played hide and go seek. And everybody wanted to hide. Nobody wanted to be the seeker. If you were the seeker, you're like the kid left out. You know, because everybody else wants to go hide, find the perfect hiding spot, and never be found. But as I've grown, something has happened inside of me to where being hidden is no longer good enough, but being a seeker or a pursuer of that which is hidden has awakened the spirit on the inside of me. So I begin to think about men of God and women of God throughout the Bible that were seekers or pursuers of that which was hidden. I begin to think about Abraham, who was a complete seeker of God with all of his heart. I think about Moses, who said, hide me in the cleft of the rock that I may see your presence pass by me. He wanted to pursue and seek after God with all of his heart. David, the Bible says, was a man that was after God's own heart. He says in Psalms 42, as a deer pants for the water, so my soul pants for my God. It thirsts for God. There was a hunger, a desire, a passion, and a pursuit on the inside of David. I begin to think about Enoch and Elijah, whose pursuit after God was on such a level of fire and anointing that the Lord said, that's enough, you're out of here. And pulled those two up to heaven with him. They escaped death and never had to fall into that deadly trap because of their pursuit. I think of John the Baptist, who was a man that refused a religious society to follow in the footsteps of religion, that was supposed to have been the high priest of his day, to go out into the woods, seek the face of God, to prepare the way of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He wasn't going to allow church, religion, or anything to stop him from his pursuit. Peter, James, John, Saul, who then becomes Paul, was a man who sought after God because they had a desire to pursue God with all their hearts. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Do you understand that before you ever desire to chase after God, that first you need to have the realization that He first chose you? First Peter says, what is it? First Peter 2:9 says that you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. He chose you from your mother's womb to be in this place. John chapter 6 verse 44 says that no man comes to the Father unless the Lord draws him to him. There was a drawing, and then the drawing of God from to you then produced a desire, a passion, and a pursuit on the inside of you. When me and my wife Davy met in 1999, there was a pursuit that took place. There was a desire that took place, because that woman was blowing my cell phone up. She was pursuing me. I couldn't get away from her. I tried to hide in the cleft of the rock. She found me. What you doing up in here? I see you. I see you. She desired me. I'm just kidding. She desired to pursue. I am lying in church. I was after her like all get out. I was following her wherever she went. But there was a pursuit. Okay, there was a desire. But as we begin in our relationship to get to know one another through conversation, through intimate conversation to know one another, then the desire and the pursuit got even stronger to where we came together and decided now we're going to get married because of our desire and our pursuing after each other. And then we become married. And then after we are married, we come together as one flesh. But the pursuit has never stopped. Amen? The pursuit should not stop just because we get married. There still should be a desire. There still should be a pursuit. It's not game over. The game's just begun. All right? We're going to be married this October for 10 years. This is our 10-year anniversary coming up, and there's still a pursuit of one another. Why is it, though, that in our nation we have got the largest divorce rate among anybody? It's astronomical of the divorce rate, not just in America, but what about in our churches? Because the desire and the pursuit changed. Don't give me that, well, I just don't love you no more. It's not that your desire and your pursuit changed. What you once desired changed, your pursuit changed, because you got a thought in your mind that you reached this pinnacle level of whatever you thought that the relationship was going to come to. Then you stop and begin to say, that is the level that I want to go to. I don't want to go any further. So now I step over here and begin to pursue in another direction. I begin to pursue and desire after other things. We hear the same thing in the church. Why do we hear people say, well, I just fell away from Jesus? You didn't fall away from Jesus. You can't fall out of the hand of Almighty God. I believe that you could turn and walk away from Him. I believe that one minute you could be pursuing God and desiring God, and for some ungodly reason we stop and turn around and go the other direction. Church, listen to me. When I'm preaching this, it's already came to me first, okay? It's already came this direction before I ever deliver it this way. So I want you to understand that this morning. The pursuit change, the desire ends up changing, and people say, well, I fell away from God. I got away from God. No, we forgot one thing, and we read it in verse 25. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. We forgot how to lose our lives. We forgot how to deny this flesh, pick up whose cross? Whose? Ours. Our cross. Look at what it says here. In verse 24, if any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross, his own cross. See, I can't bear your cross for you. You can't bear my cross. I can't bear the cross of your music pastor here. I can't bear the cross. But if we all together pick up our crosses together, then we bear the cross of the body of Christ, the church. So we've got to every single day wake up, deny our flesh, pick up our cross, and follow after Jesus. Losing our lives on a daily basis. Because we don't want the desire or the pursuit to change for what God's destiny and purpose that He has in store for us, as well as in store for this church here in Atlanta, Georgia. Amen? So I begin to think about Abraham again. Abraham is a man that is chasing after God, and he's praying for something specific. He's chasing after God, but he's praying for a son. He's chasing after God, he's praying for a son. He's chasing after God, he's praying for a son. All of a sudden, he gets the son that he was praying for, and his pursuit changes. His desires change, his pursuits change, and no longer is he pursuing God, but he is now glorifying his son. The pursuit changed. The desire changed. You know what I'm talking about. You see this all day long. I was at a peewee football game yesterday in Dalton, Tennessee, wherever it's at. We're new to Chattanooga, so I don't even know the name of the place. All I know is I got there, and there's all these little kids playing. And these are like eight-year-olds, and their dad's on the sideline screaming, "Boy, what are you doing? Pick up the ball and run." I'm like, this ain't the NFL, man. These are eight-year-olds, and you are yelling at this kid. But what they're doing is they're like, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. But it didn't start like that. How'd it start out? Look at my little boy. Isn't he cute? Like, look at him. You know, come on, you see this in church. They pick him up and show him to you, and everybody in the whole church, oh, like my kid's ugly or something. You're the only one with a cute kid. So he picks him, and they, look at this. I got a cute little boy right here. And as he starts growing, not only is he cute, then he starts getting in kindergarten. You're like, that boy right there can spell. He is smart. That boy, not only is he cute, but he's smart. So now my kid's ugly and dumb. Is that what you're trying to tell me? I got an ugly, dumb kid, and yours is smart and cute. And then they grow up. And then they keep growing up. They start getting bigger and bigger. And then they're like, you know what? You're going to play baseball. They're 8 years old, and it's like, you're going to be in the major leagues. You're going to be on the NFL. You are going to be the next president. You're going to land on the moon. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. And all of a sudden, we start building up our kids when we were supposed to be teaching them to build and glorify God and show them direction towards the Lord. But instead, our pursuit and our desire change, and we start to glorify that which we were praying for. I mean, look, man, I've got an 8-year-old little girl. And she's played softball, she's played cheerleading, so it goes both ways. You got girls and boys, but if we are not pursuing God and teaching our young people to pursue God, and they begin to pursue the things out there, something drastic is about to happen. The same way that it happened to Abraham and Isaac. Because God said, enough is enough. Abraham, I gave you what you've prayed for. And since it's here, you've turned on me. So you're not glorifying me anymore. Now you're glorifying your son. So the Lord comes to Abraham and says, Abraham, go get you a bundle of sticks. Go get you some wood. Grab you a knife. Put the wood on your son's back and take him up this mountain. I want you to sacrifice him to me. You're going to sacrifice this boy to me because he has gotten in the way of me and your relationship. Think about it. Think if the Lord came to you and said, your son, your daughter has become your all in all. That has become your possession, and now the possession between you and me, the intimate relationship between you and me has been cut off because of whatever it is that you have placed in the middle between us. Now you've got to go kill it. Now you got to take your son to the top of a mountain, Abraham, and thrust a knife down on the inside of him and destroy what I gave you because it began to rule you instead of you ruling it. Come on now. When possessions begin to possess you, there is a problem. Yeah, we can possess things, but if they begin to possess us, now we got an issue. So Abraham is walking up this mountain. Goes up to the top of this mountain and is standing up there. And think about this. Think about the night before. Think about the night before. God and the conversation between God and Abraham. Why? Why is this happening? Why is this going on? Why are you making me do this? Why, God? Why? Anybody in here besides me ever ask why? Come on. We were talking about being real earlier in here. Now everybody's just sitting on their hands. Anybody else in here besides me ask why? Come on. Why, God? Why me? Why is this happening? Huh? Why is it, God? Why is it that you call me to a church out of Shreveport, Louisiana? You call me to a church to go and be a student pastor in West Monroe, and within you 1 year, I get cancer. Why? I thought I'm doing your work. I thought I'm doing your ministry. Now I go full-time ministry. I mean, I was doing good over here as an engineer for Halliburton. I was making good money. I know that I was miserable because I knew the calling of God upon my life. So now that I have released myself and decided to become obedient to your word, winning souls, saving people from hell, telling them about Jesus, I go now, I'm standing over here in the position of a student pastor, and now I get cancer. Why? Why? Now I'm praying for all these things. Now I've got to go have surgery to get the cancer removed from my body. Now they tell me you can never have children again. Why? Right there, the desire and the pursuit stops for 90% of people that are so-called uncalled Christians. It stops. Because they're like, can't handle it. Trying to serve this God, and now this is what's happening to me. Trying to do this, and then, so this is what's going to happen. Pray, seek, fast, do, and now this. Now I got to stop. I got to think about Abraham. Standing on that mountain with a knife, fixing to kill his boy. Fixing to thrust that knife into that boy's heart because he lost the desire and the pursuit after the one. But thank God, right? Thank God that the Spirit of the Lord came to Abraham and he grabbed that knife and held it over that young boy's chest and was about to thrust it in there. And the Bible says that the angel of the Lord came and said, stop! We need to have ears to hear, church. Because some of us have gone and done things and not and thought that we were doing it because thus saith the Lord, and we've ended up either killing things, killing somebody else, or hurting something or whatever because we didn't have an ear to hear that God was telling us to stop. And then we continued on. But thank God that Abraham said stop. Now here's the other cool thing. Abraham knew, regardless if I kill my son, regardless if I kill him right now, God can resurrect him. He can bring him back to me. So I'm willing to now give up what I prayed for and needed the most, what I've asked God to do to produce an inheritance of my loins that God told me that I was going to have. This is my promise that I'm about to kill. I will do it anyway and be obedient. And the Lord stopped him. Stopped him right in his tracks. Said, don't kill your son. He said, there's a ram over here caught in the bushes. Bring him out and kill him. Because now, Abraham, I know that you love me. Now I know that you love me more than you love him. Now I know that you will be obedient to me in whatever I ask you to do, wherever I ask you to go, and whatever it is that I have to tell you today. I know that you will be obedient. And here's Abraham standing in the midst of thousands of people, standing in the midst of wealth, standing in the midst of sheep and cows, and he's got all these great possessions that are all around him, but nothing possesses Abraham. Come on now. Nothing possesses Abraham. He's got the possessions that God has given him, but they do not possess him. He is an empty man standing there with nothing, denying himself, denying his flesh, seeking not after to save his life, but to lose it in order for an inheritance of the kingdom of God and for you to be standing in or sitting in this church this morning worshiping God. Amen? That's why we're here. The possessions change. The desires change. Come on now. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then these things shall be added unto you. Man, I'm no different than anybody else out there. I sought after things. I sought after what people, what places can get me, what things can get me, who can get me here, who can get me where. I mean, when I started out and I knew that God called me to ministry, I thought I had to get up in front of big-time pastors. I thought that if I got up in front of big-time pastors, then they would recognize me, see the anointing and the glory upon me, and then want to use me. They didn't care who I was. I was just another dude standing in the crowd. I come up and shook their hands and said, hey, how you doing? My name's Chris Brooks. And they said, how are you? And move right on to the next person. But I thought in my mind, if I did these things and got in front of these people, then I would be lifted up. Come to find out, I had an incredible man in God as a spiritual father over my life that after we went to a conference, He put me in a car for about 4 hours, drove me back to Shreveport, Louisiana, and wore my butt out. And said, what are you thinking? What are you doing? If God wants you to be in front of those people, Chris, He will put you in front of those people. Let God do it. Don't try to do it in your own power. Because you're going to mess it up. He was right. I would have messed it up. My desire had to be changed. My pursuit had to change. Once my desire and my pursuit changed, God changed. It ain't that God changed. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. He changed me. My desire changed. My pursuit changed because of the God that is on the inside of me has now got me pursuing after Him, and He releases the things to me that I need. Amen? Philippians, last scripture here I want to share with you this morning. Philippians chapter 3. Turn with me there. We all right this morning? Everybody good? You receiving this word? Praise God. Philippians chapter 3. I heard a guy, if you have a hard time, it's, what is it? Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Just remember, Gentiles eat pork. And that's an easy way to know, you know, there you go, Philippians. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. But what things were gained to me? These I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Whew. That's a scripture we need to quote every morning. We need to wake up every morning, and that needs to be something that we say, that we pray over ourselves, that we get up in the morning, we read this scripture. No, I am not my own. It has nothing to do with me or what I'm doing, but it has everything to do with the kingdom. This morning, church, look at me. What are you desiring right now? What is your pursuit? What is it that stands between you and God? What is it that stands between you and God that may be keeping you from getting closer to your destiny, your future, the calling upon your life, and the calling upon this church? Where is God calling you? Listen to what He says. This is a laid down life. This is what a laid down, pursuing life looks like. When He says, I see my life as worthless. I see everything that I've done as nothing. Everything is rubbish. That if I may gain Christ. Everything I've done. If I don't gain Christ, everything I've done is null and void. It's to pursue. It's the desire. It's to seek. And it is to find. What does the scripture say? Ask and you shall what? Seek and you shall. Knock and the door will be open to you. I love that. I don't love that He says seek and you might find every once in a while. Asking you, well, if I feel like it. Knocking you. You know what the challenge has been with the church? You know what our challenge is? Is that we read that scripture, we say, ask and you shall receive. Lord, I'm asking right now for $100,000. And I need $100,000 right now. Number one, we asking for the wrong thing. Number two, we ask, and if it ain't on the porch tomorrow morning, we're like, well, I guess God don't want to listen to me. I guess you didn't hear me. You must have been hearing Sally down the street because she won the lottery and it was $313 million just about 3 weeks ago in Georgia. Trust me, I saw the sign in Chattanooga. Don't think I wasn't saying, Holy Spirit. Y'all think I'm just all spiritual. I'm like, Holy Ghost, you tell me the numbers. I will give $5 to the... count it. I will put every... I will just blagging the whole thing in. Here, take it. Seek and you shall find. We stop seeking. Because seeking's hard. Remember I was talking earlier about playing hide and go seek? Why didn't anybody want to be the seeker? Because it's hard. Because people know how to hide. People know how to hide. And some of us think that God is hiding from us and He's not hiding from us. You're just looking in the wrong places. Woo! Woo! Come on, like that old country song. Looking for love in all the wrong place. Come on, I'm from Texas. Looking for love. You've been looking for God in all the wrong places. You can't look for God in money. You can't look for God in fame. You can't look for God in what people think about you outside. You got to look for God as I am worthless. I am nothing. I have nothing. I own nothing. But what I attain is Christ Jesus. I've got Him. And it don't matter about that other stuff. That other stuff will come when God releases it to you. You should see my car. Man, I'm rolling on some 20s. I don't play. Put some D's on him. It's on there. Y'all think I'm just playing it. I'm telling you, I pray. God, my car is rolling on some junk. But I seek you first. And I did. I sought first God. And then I had a man come to me and said, you rolling on some junk. And I was like, brother, you have heard my prayer. He said, and he's like, we need to put some bling on this thing. I was like, I didn't even know you knew what bling was. But let's go. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and he shall add some booyah down on your car. I'm not playing. God answers prayers. Let me tell you something. Check this out. It was two Fridays ago. Was it two Fridays? Anyway, I think it was two Fridays ago. I've got some trees in my backyard, okay? These trees are, a couple of these trees are like bending over, and if I stand on the hill and I look at my house, these trees are bending over, and I'm thinking this winter, if there comes a snowstorm or an ice storm or whatever, these trees are going right through. One's going through my daughter's room, and the other one's going to go through me and my wife's bedroom. And I'm sitting here, and I'm like, God, what do I do? What do I do? And I started calling people to get estimates, right? I start calling people, and I say, come give me an estimate of what it would cost to cut these trees down. While I'm out there looking at these trees, now, y'all may think I'm weird, but I'm just out there looking at these trees, and I'm like, God, what do I do? And the Lord says, cut the tops out of them. Cut the tops out of them, and then lay them down. That's all I heard. Cut the tops out of them, lay them down. This guy comes up to me. The first guy shows up, and he says, I'll cut this tree down for $150. I'll cut this tree down for $190. And I said, he goes, I'll cut this one down. I was like, that's okay, go away. You know? I said, the next tree, if it's 300, you can leave, bro, because you just, each tree gets higher and higher and higher. And I said, that ain't the number God's given me. Bye. So he leaves. This other guy comes in, and he comes up, and he says, all right, you got this tree, and this tree. All right, I'll do it for $400. And I was like, ooh, hallelujah, that's the number. He said, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to come out here, I'm going to tie a rope up here, and I'm going to pull this one over, and then I'm going to pull this one over, and I'm going to pull that one over. And I'm like, I just don't feel right about that. Something in my spirit just didn't feel right. The third guy, oh, hallelujah, check that out. One, two, three. We'll get all spiritual in numbers now. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Trinity, and all this stuff. Third man showed up 3 days out of it. Well, come on. So I didn't even think of that till right now. Hallelujah. Hey. I just got that. I didn't even get that 2 weeks ago, but I got it now. Come on, Jesus. That's how good my God is. This guy shows up, and he says, I will do it for $600. And I'm like, nope. But he says this. You got to cut the tops out of them. I just step back, and the Lord goes, I'm talking to you. Ask him for $400. He says, we got to cut the tops out of them. I said, all right, how much is this going to cost me? He said, $600. I said, I can't do six. He goes, what can you do? I said, I can do four. He said, I'll be here Thursday. I said, hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus! The price God gave me, and it's going to be done the way the Lord told me it was going to be done. Why? Because of the desire to pursue God in everything. To show me, Lord, how am I going to do this? Because he said, if you were to pull these trees over, it could kick back and go right through your bedroom. He said, we got to cut the tops out of them, and then we can pull them over. So I got trees laying down in my backyard right now from this guy that's cut them down. But the money that he said that it was going to, the $400, God's taking care of that too. He's taking care of the money. That's because you're a pastor. Man, you need to get over that. I introduce myself as Chris Brooks. I don't introduce myself as Pastor so-and-so. Let me explain. Being a pastor is a calling. You understand that? A pastor is a calling, not a position held. Pastor is a calling. So I am called to pastor, but I am Chris Brooks, sinner, saved by grace, thanking God every day that I ain't dying and going to hell. Because I could be. I should be. And I don't want to tomorrow. So I'm going to wake up in the morning, deny my flesh, lay my life down, pick up my cross and follow after God on a daily basis so that I may know Him. Oh God, that I may know Him. He drew Himself to me and I now draw myself to Him. He drew each and every one of you to this house of worship. You are here for a purpose. You are here for a plan ordained by God. You're here for a reason. There's three of them. Number one reason is this right here, that you would know Him and the power of His resurrection. Oh, God. That you would know the power of God that is locked up on the inside of you. The power of God. My brother right here, you've been looking at me the whole time, and he has been leaning over in his seat. That is a desire and a hunger and a thirst to pursue God. I can see it on his face. But because he's leaned over, because he's attentive, because he wants to know, what is it that God has for me? What is the plan for my life? I'm not dead, which means I need to continue to study. I need to continue to divide the word. I need to continue to receive from God every day of my life to understand the power of God locked up inside of you. Do you believe that you can lay your hands upon the sick and they shall recover? Because this Bible says you can. That's for the elders of the church. No, it is not. That's for the body. God designed the body to heal itself. So we are designed to go forth and to lay our hands upon the sick. Yes, the Bible says that the elders, that if you are any sick among you, call upon the elders of the church that they may lay hands upon you. What if you ain't got an elder nearby you and you can't call Benny Hinn? You got Benny Hinn on speed dial? I don't. But you give the Lord the mighty hand clap of praise, because we're going to get somebody healed up in this place. Don't think I'm making fun of Benny Hinn, because I know Benny Hinn. Benny Hinn's a close personal friend of my pastor from Shreveport, and I know him very well. All right? I don't want you to have to get up next week, but that pastor came in here and was talking about Benny Hinn, and Lord God, help him, and give the Lord the mighty hand clap of praise. You can't do that unless you've been around the man. All right? I've got three of my spiritual sons that are his bodyguards, so trust me, I know the man. But I understand the resurrecting power. The power that if my family gets sick, that I lay hands on them. I do. I'm the priest. Before I'm the pastor, I'm the priest of my house. So my family gets sick, I go lay hands on them. I start praying for them to be healed. I start praying for myself. I take oil out, little dab of dew, put it on my forehead, and I'm fixing to pray myself into healing. Lord God, your word said that I shall be healed, resisting all sickness and disease. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Though 1,000 may fall at my left, 10,000 at my right, it shall not come nigh my dwelling. Because I'm the man of God. I'm the man that you've called. And so are every single one of you. The resurrecting power of God locked up on the inside of you to win souls, to set the captives free. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is on the inside of each and every one of you. That's number one. Number two, are we doing good in here? Praise God. Number two, fellowship because of his sufferings. The fellowship because of his sufferings. Two things in fellowship. Number one, baptism. The Bible says that in baptism that we are buried with Christ in baptism unto death, and we are raised to walk in a newness of life. That is the fellowship of his sufferings. He suffered the cross so that you could have fellowship. He suffered the cross so you could be in this church this morning. He suffered the cross so in a few minutes when we get out of here, y'all can go down to the buffet and buffet your bodies in fellowship, right? The breaking of bread. The Bible also says we're supposed to do this from church to church, house to house. Means that in our homes, we break bread. We love on one another. My goodness, come on, we're the body of Christ. We're supposed to love on each other. I want to say this right now, and I didn't feel like saying it till right now. Don't ever say the church has ever hurt you. Please don't ever say that, because the church ain't ever hurt nobody. Jesus said he's coming back for a spotless, blameless bride. The church has never hurt anybody. People hurt people. It's just, you got some people out there that hurt people. It's because of ignorance. And the Bible says, do not be ignorant, my brethren, but study, learn. receive from God. So we are here to fellowship with one another. How often do you get in touch with each other? Just on Sunday? You should be getting together more than that. Because the Bible says, because the day is coming. The day is coming, and you should be gathering together more. Even much more now, since the day does approach, is what the Word of God says. We fellowship because of what He did on the cross. Amen. Number three is to have a daily life of denying ourselves. A daily life of denying ourselves. And the only way that you can ever get to Christ is you got to die first. You got to die. And let me tell you something. It's not just one death down here saying a prayer. Lord, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. And a little prayer that we made up in church that ain't nowhere in the Bible. Just being real. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Blah, 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 blah. I do believe. I do know the Scripture. It says if you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, that you shall be saved. The Bible also says that those who endure to the end shall be saved. That means in the morning time, yesterday might have been a pretty bad day. I got to get up this morning and pray. God, forgive me my sins. Forgive me where I failed you, and I die today. Because if I don't die before I walk out of the door, the flesh of Chris Brooks will take over and kill me and everybody else that's around me. So I die right now so that I may be in your presence, so I will know you. To pursue you and to seek after you. To pursue God with all of your desires. David, if you come up here for me. Church, this is something the Lord told me to come down here and tell you. That if you pursue God and you desire Him with everything that you have, He will answer your cry. He will answer your cry. And don't think that your prayers are not being heard. Your prayers are being heard right now. The Lord knows what's going on with you. The Lord knows what you need. But I'm here as the man of God to tell you, do not pursue this pulpit nor pursue that platform. Pursue God, and God will put the man that He wants behind this pulpit and put the man that He wants on that platform. It may not be what you think. He may not look the way you think He's supposed to look. Jesus didn't look the part. But it'll be the man of God. And the Lord told me to tell you this, there will be peace that will surpass all understanding. There will be a joy in your heart because you'll see Him and you'll be like, that's Him. Oh, God, that's Him. That's the man, that's the pastor, that's the bishop, whatever it is you want to come. That's the one that's going to lead us into the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord says for me to tell you today, salvation is coming to your house. Salvation is coming to your house. Just pursue. Desire after Him. Pursue Him with all your heart. It don't matter the circumstance. I tell my students in Chattanooga, I've got middle school, high school, and college, and we're all together. And I tell them, I say, it does not matter what happens around you. Because stuff's going to happen around you. You live in this world. But not one thing affects you and your relationship with Jesus. It shouldn't affect it. If little things affect you, you need to find out where your desire is, what you're pursuing. Because God says, when you pursue me, I take care of everything else. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? I just want to pray. Father, God, I love you so much. Father, I thank you for hungry and thirsty people that we have here at this church, Lord God. But Lord Jesus, I know, Father, that there may be some in here this morning that are struggling. I know, Father, that, Lord God, even this past week, Lord God, I was in a struggle. I was laying down on the floor in my office and I was crying out to you, God. I was saying, help me, Lord Jesus, because I don't know if I can make it another day without you. Father, I pray, Lord God, that as I continue to speak into their hearts and into their minds and into their spirits, Lord, that those that need an awakening on the inside of them, those, God, that know that there's something in the place that is keeping them from truly pursuing after you, God, that it would be awakened on the inside of them and that they would remove it today, Lord.